Hello, my name is Chris McCoskey, and welcome to Sharing with the Community, a podcast from the town of Kiawah Island. Today, I would like to welcome Fire Chief Ryan Kunitzer from the St. John's Fire District. How are you doing today?
Hey, Chris. Thank you for having me on here. I look forward to telling the town of Kiawah a little bit about St. John's Fire District and what we kind of do, and I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, of course. We're excited to have you, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to talk with me. To start this conversation, I just really want to know about you, your past, and what brought you to Fire Chief, and then also about your role at the St. John's Fire District.
Sure. So I'm from Michigan. I've been in the Charleston area now for about 11 years. I've been with St. John's Fire District for about 7 years now.
Okay.
Previously, I was with City of Charleston Fire Department as well, too, and was with the fire department in Michigan as well, too. And I moved here about 11 years ago for the better weather, and and it's more opportunities here in this area, too, for growth in my position as well, too. So I've been with St. John's Fire District. Before Fire Chief, I had roles as Fire Marshal and did a lot of different things with the district. But then about 1 year now, I've been Fire Chief.
Okay.
So as my role as Fire Chief, I oversee basically everything in the organization, whether it's operations, our administrative side, the fire district itself, and I know we'll get into this a little bit more too, but the fire district itself is like our own little city. We cover several different municipalities and unincorporated areas of Charleston County. So we cover properties on Johns Island, Wamala, Seabrook Island, and Kiawah Island.
Okay.
So we have about 190 square miles that is our jurisdiction. So it's not just incident response. We do a lot for reducing incidents and the need to go out to incidents. And we do, a primary part of our job is not just fires, but we do EMS as well, too.
Okay.
So we do quite a bit. So in my role, I kind of oversee all of that and all these different branches of the fire department and how they all kind of work together as well, too.
Okay. So you're, in layman's terms, you're a very busy man.
It can be very busy. It can be a busy time. Yes.
Awesome. So, well, that's great. And you talk about, what is it, 190 miles?
We have about 190 square miles that we cover. So
now, I know the St. John's Fire District has two stations on the island, correct?
There's two stations on Kiawah Island. And we have seven total for the entire fire district, but we've got two on Kiawah Island. And both of them are newer buildings that we've opened in the last Station 4 on Sora Rail was opened last year. And then Station 6 is now about 3 or 4 years old. And that is out at Ocean Course Drive and Governor's Drive.
Great. And, with those stations and, with Craig on board, our public safety director, how does the St. John's Fire District or you yourself and the town incorporate and work together with, public safety here on the island?
Sure. So our district was developed in 1959, and to cover kind of these larger areas that were starting to just start to expand within the Johns Island corridor, Kiawah and Seabrook. So we now, with the town, and the town as large as it is now, and mm-hmm. being a very much a destination place for people to come to, we work quite a bit with the town on all things public safety related. Like I said, emergency medical response is a big thing of what we do.
Okay.
Oftentimes, whether it's you have a slip and fall, or you're having a cardiac event, or anything like that, the fire district, we respond, and we can start providing medical aid if an ambulance is not on scene yet as well, too. So that's a big part of it. Obviously, we respond to fires. And then a big part of it, too, is just preparation and response to large events like hurricanes and tropical mm-hmm. storms and the multitude of other things that can happen in kind of the Charleston area as well, too. So, with the town, we work kind of hand-in-hand on basically anything emergency-wise that's not, essentially law enforcement. We call ourselves a all-hazards response. So whether it's cats stuck in the tree or you're having a medical event, we're there to help.
Awesome. You brought up hurricane, and I'd be remiss to not bring up, Hurricane Ian now that we're in the rearview mirror. And luckily, the town of Kiawah Island and Kiawah and Seabrook and Johns Island wasn't hit like it was projected
sure.
to get hit.
Right.
And that is very much luck, right? How does the St. John's Fire District and prepare for those emergency storms that come during the season?
Sure, we take it upon ourselves to prepare as much as possible for these events. Over the last several years, we've purchased equipment to help us in these events. We have a high water vehicle at our disposal so if we did have a significant flooding event as part of one of these, we would be able to retrieve people from their homes or in flooded cars or something like that.
That's amazing.
So we have all these different, we've got small boats, we have all these different things. So when we know a potential hurricane's coming, we just start all of our prep, we get our stations ready. We, get all of the equipment ready. We have extra chainsaws. A big thing what we do in these storms because of the wind is just tree clearing.
Yeah.
So we're usually the first people out when the storm is still going on to keep getting trees cleared and items like that. So, and we work with the town on just what the, getting messaging out to residents to say, hey, this may be significant for you. Here is what you need to do to prepare for the storm. Here is what you need to do if you need to evacuate. And then, here is what you can expect from St. John's while the storm is going on. Depending on the severity of the storm, there is times where it's not safe for us to respond
as
well, too. And that's an important message people need to know. I will wait till the very last minute and have my people out on the streets helping. But there comes a time also when it's a safety factor for us too. So that is all discussions we have with the town and in preparation. And of course, a big part of it is just equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And many times in these storms too, we will request resources from Charleston County and the state of South Carolina. For Hurricane Ian, we requested an additional high water vehicle and also a floodwater team that would be better equipped to handle what we may have encountered in Hurricane Ian.
Yeah.
The good news is we can always turn them around and send them home,
mm-hmm.
Which is what we were able to do in Ian, and we were able to handle that.
Yeah, it's prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Right. And, luckily we got the best case scenario when it came to the direction. And it's unfortunate for the folks in Florida and even upper South Carolina, North Carolina that got, more affected than
sure.
than we were. Now, say there is a strong, major hurricane coming our way. We obviously want the residents and the community to evacuate, to get safe. But what tips do you have for preparing their homes for,
sure.
A major hurricane to approach the coast?
Sure. The real big things is securing utilities, so securing your water. Lots of people have furniture outside of their homes,
yeah.
On their decks and porches and things, and it's bringing some of those things in that could be projectiles
yeah.
in there as well, too. And just having really a good plan with your family and then a plan to have, whether it's boarding up windows, things like that, getting things off the ground. If you've got ground level garage stuff, getting that stuff off the ground, because we know what we saw, particularly with Hurricane Ian, is that there's with the amount of flooding and things that creates a problem in a lot of different ways too. So, definitely hardening your home and then getting all of those things kind of outside of your home and on the ground level off and up to a higher place as well too. So, and just having a plan for rations, whether you're evacuating or, we again, with a storm like Ian that hit the coast of Florida, we hope that everybody is evacuating. We'll push
exactly.
for people to evacuate. Make sure, if you're leaving too, you've got things in your car, food, water for a couple days. And know that if something significant like Ian would happen here, you would not be able to return right away.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something where even in Ian, I know that they're having problems with people coming back and trying to get to their homes.
Yeah.
But there's no sewer, there's no water, and it's taking time for the utilities to get those things back up and running. No power.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I want to circle back to overall public safety. You've been with St. John's Fire District for some time now. Out here on the island, what do you see most? When it comes to calls, and how can the community enhance their public safety and their preparations and their just safety as in a whole in their homes?
Sure. So I'll put that in two different buckets a little bit. One being kind of the medical side of it, where we see a lot of times in the summer just different things that happen on the beach particularly. Mm-hmm. It can be, you know, we do get called for bad sunburns sometimes too. But I say that jokingly, but, you know, there is, you know, it's a natural habitat here. So we do have alligators and stingrays and jellyfish. And those are just things to be cognizant of and have a plan as if, you know, if you were to encounter one of those as well too. I think from a fire safety side, something that we see quite a bit is issues that we have with grills particularly. Mm. And because a lot of the grills are on combustible balconies or decks or things like that, we see some of the last couple fires that we've had have actually involved, you know, charcoal grills and improper disposal of those coals. Mm. Somebody thinks, you know, those coals can stay hot for a couple days after you use them. And people will throw them in a trash bin or throw them out into the yard or something like that, and that's created problems for us. And unattended cooking is another big one. Across the United States, unattended cooking is the number one cause of fires.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so whether it's somebody's making a meal and they go sit down and they fall asleep, or you know, they're having a party and they're, you know, just not really watching the grill or watching the stove. So that's the number one cause of fire. So, you know, it's always good to have somebody that's attentive and, you know, stay in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Stay next to the grill so that you can kind of keep an eye on these things happening. And making sure, like, the grill is clean, you know, ready for use. That, you know, we tend to see with a lot of use in grills, you get grease buildup and things. And, you know, people don't clean them probably as often as we'd like to. So, and just in the home, you know, a lot of the construction on Kiawah Island is newer, within the last kind of 30 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we talk about smoke alarms being important, a lot of homes have interconnected smoke alarm systems. So they run off the power of the home and they alert, all the alarms go off when you have it, or it's a monitored system.
Yeah.
Well, as we see that, those things start to age as well, too. So most manufacturers say replace your smoke alarm equipment after 10 years. So now what we're seeing on our kind of smoke alarm push is a replacement cycle. Let's replace alarms that are already existing. Because, again, our number one, you know, we've got a couple things. We've got homes that have fire sprinkler systems. So if you're considering building a new home, we'd really push for home fire sprinklers.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, obviously, smoke alarms have saved countless lives across the country.
Of course.
But it also takes maintenance of those smoke alarms.
Replacing the batteries.
Batteries is a big one,
yeah. Yeah, and, you know, we talk about, you know, the smoke alarms and stuff. And I know St. John's Fire District, you know, it hosts a lot of different programs. I'm looking at, you know, some I pulled from your website, Child Safety Seat Program, Citizen Safe Smoke Alarm Program, and a bunch of others. Can you dig into some of these programs and how they are a positive impact to the community?
Sure. So our Citizen Safe Smoke Alarm Program was pre-COVID, we would basically come out to your home and knock on doors every weekend and just say, hey, we're here, you know, we're here to help. Mm-hmm. We can help answer any questions you have on smoke alarms. Obviously, COVID set us back on that, but we're bringing that back. But at any time, you can call our office or fire stations, and we can do an evaluation of what you have for smoke alarms. We don't see, you know, we don't put in a lot of smoke alarms on Kiawah because, like I said, the newer construction, the homes have to have smoke alarms.
Yeah.
That's part of fire code and building codes. But what we see a lot of, particularly on Kiawah Island, is people, residents that just have questions on, you know, why is my alarm chirping?
Mm-hmm.
Why are all the alarms going off or chirping? And we can definitely help with those as well. Our Child Safety Seat Program, you know, it's something we've got technicians on our staff that will assist you in making sure that you have the right car seat and that car seat is installed correctly.
You know, I took advantage of this. I have a six-month-old daughter.
Good.
And when I got, you know, this is my first child. So when I put the car seat in, I was I don't know if I feel comfortable with my skills. I think I got it right. But
sure.
I took it to my local fire station, and they helped me. And
right.
I actually was wrong with, you know, putting
sure.
mine in. And, you know, now it's secure and fastened the way it needs to be. And I'm fortunate that that's even a program.
Yes, we have several technicians on our staff, so all you have to do is give us a call. We prefer to do that by appointment, but because it does, it's kind of more than a 2-minute thing. We try to the big part of that is education as well too, and making sure that those seats are installed correctly, but making sure that the caregiver can install those seats as well too, because you will be the one as a caregiver to actually taking that seat in and out and putting that child in. So, you know, we work a lot with the local schools. We do things with the businesses. We have a CPR program as well too, that we come, whether it's a group or really anybody, that you can get a CPR card from us and learn how to do CPR, which we know bystander CPR is very, very important in cardiac events. So yeah, lots of different things we can do. It's kind of like I said, it's a all-encompassing, all hazards. We kind of have a little piece for everything that we can help with.
I love that. That's fantastic. Outside of that, Fire Chief, is there anything else you would like to add for the sake of the community?
No, I just would like people to know that don't hesitate to call 911. You know, that's really our line to get us there fastest in the case of emergency. So make sure you call 911. If somebody doesn't answer the phone right away, keep calling. Call back. There will be them. At times, it can be very, very busy at the dispatch center. So, again, you can come to our fire stations for anything. They're, you know, they're owned by you all. So, you know, if you want a tour and you see the trucks there, our guys are, you know, we'll give you a tour, your family a tour anytime, and tell you a little bit more about what we do as well too. So, yeah, two fire stations on Kew Island. Again, you know, we kind of respond to any really type emergency there is, and you know, whatever's needed from us, we try to answer the challenge.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Chris, for having me.